This morning, we return to a story we first reported a year ago, the story of Iraqi scientist General Amir al-Sadi. As chief liaison to UN weapons inspectors, it was he who publicly told the world Iraq no longer had weapons of mass destruction in the months before the U.S. invasion. Al-Sadi would appear to have been vindicated, but as NPR's Ann Garrels reports, he continues to be held in a special American prison near Baghdad's international airport.
Being right on weapons of mass destruction is no consolation for the al-Sadi family. Helma, al-Sadi's German wife, is on an emotional roller coaster. One day she's sure he will be released. The next day, hints and rumors plunge her into despair. Her husband writes from solitary confinement that he, too, is the victim of terrible mood swings. Helma reads from his letters.
Between the soaring and the sinking, the mind goes on strike, and one does the mundane necessities unconsciously.
While urging her to hang in there, al-Sadi writes that for the Bush administration to release him now would be fodder for the Democrats.
Earlier on, he said, "My interviewers have told me that interrogation and questioning has finished. But it seems that my release is political, and therefore don't expect me back before the elections in November."
Several U.S. officials have told NPR and the family there is no reason to continue holding him. Sources say even Paul Bremer recommended General al-Sadi be released. The head of the Iraqi tribunal investigating Saddam Hussein and other high-level Iraqis tells NPR he has no case against al-Sadi. But the office of General Jeffrey Miller, the deputy commanding general for detainee operations, says no change in his status is anticipated.
There is this brick wall we keep bashing our heads against.
The family hoped that with the handover of sovereignty, al-Sadi's status as a prisoner of war would be reviewed. Under the Geneva Conventions, POWs may be detained after the end of occupation only if the Iraqi government charges them. Saddam Hussein and 11 others were so charged, but no formal charges have been lodged against al-Sadi. U.S. officials justify their continued detention, calling him a security risk. Al-Sadi's brother, Radwan, a senior official in the oil ministry, scoffs.
What do they mean, security? Why do they consider him as a security risk? Let them show us. Let them prove it. Let them present whatever they have. They can't just hide behind all these loose terms, general terms of we can't do whatever we want to ensure security.
Under current procedures, officials say Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld or Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz must sign off on the release of al-Sadi and other so-called high-value detainees. Radwan says his brother's only sin is telling the truth.
It's more or less becoming a personal issue, personal vendetta, because he embarrassed them in his own way, I don't know. This is outrageous. They are talking about freedom, about human rights. They are the last people who knows anything about it.
Al-Sadi was the first of the 55 senior officials in the Hussein government to surrender. He assumed he would be quickly released when U.S. officials determined Iraq no longer had weapons of mass destruction. Instead, he's been held in a 15-by-9-foot cell furnished with only a bed and a chair. He's permitted an hour of exercise a day, 2 showers a week, and 1 weekly letter to his family.
22 lines. You know, it's half a page.
The official form for the letters was recently inexplicably reduced from 27 to 22 lines. The letters sometimes take months to reach Helma.
My replies keep crawling back for weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. There was a time he had written 11 messages to me and he hadn't heard from me.
There's no chance for a dialogue, no chance to get a speedy answer to urgent family and financial issues. The letter forms are labeled family news. But just what constitutes family news? Helma's tried to find out what is permissible so as to avoid delays with the censors.
I have approached all the Iraqi officials who I thought may have some influence. They say, sorry, we don't know.
Initially, al-Sadi was not permitted any books, then just the Quran. Now he writes he has access to books provided by the Red Cross. But he's not permitted pen and paper except when he writes his weekly letter. He's left to do crosswords in his head. According to his family, al-Sadi was no fan of Saddam Hussein's, although he did help develop Iraq's military capabilities. He designed long-range rockets. It was an uneasy relationship. Saddam executed one of his brothers. Al-Sadi never joined the Ba'ath Party. Married to a foreigner, he remained suspect. Rather than divorce his wife, as Saddam ordered, he sent her and the children to Germany for safety. Forbidden from traveling abroad, he couldn't join them. He chose not to defect, fearing for the safety of relatives he might leave behind. According to his family, he chose to serve his country despite Saddam. He was put in charge of Iraq's reconstruction after the 1991 Gulf War, and then forced into retirement until Saddam called on him to refute U.S. charges before the war. Whatever he thought of Saddam, Helma says her husband thought another war would be worse.
And he says, I tried unselfishly so hard to avoid this war, although the war would have meant a better normal life for us as a family, because he was very much restricted under Saddam Hussein.
In one letter, he urged Helma to leave Iraq to seek medical treatment and see the children who are in Germany. In a rare phone call, she told him she won't leave.
20 years you waited for me, although they had asked you to divorce me. How can I desert you now? And he choked in his throat, you know, I said, no way. I am staying here until, you know, I want you back.
Hoping against hope, Helma is loath to leave the house just in case the man she calls her phantom husband reappears.
Day in, day out, with no hope or no prospects.
Amr al-Sadi is number 32 on Washington's most wanted list, and the seven of diamonds on the notorious deck of cards. He now spends a lot of time with cards, playing solitaire in his cell. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.